The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 498. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
An exclusive that people think is an exclusive, but not really.
And Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah. All right, you just got the three of us tonight, the Latino crew. We don't know where anybody else is. Well, Chris said he wasn't going to be on, but...
We have become... The show is temporarily called Wepa Down.
Yeah, Wepa Down, you know. The real Guadalupe brothers in the house.
All we need, we need Adam. We gotta summon him like Zordon.
He's in the shout out to Adam. I texted today. He's in the Iowa State. Well, he was in the Iowa State Fair with eating some lamb chops or pork chops or something like that.
Well, chuletas? What's going on?
Chuletas, man? Exactly. Some chuletas.
Yeah. Hold on real quick. I got a comment here from Jason Miller on YouTube. Tony, longtime listener. Will you say Jason Miller, my man? There you go. My man. He goes, that's epic the way you say it. He also goes, my question is, what is Xbox's new game? Will they drop on PS4 next? Well, if you are a longtime listener, you would know that's the question show. This is the Thursday show. We don't take questions. Actually, we do, but I'm being an asshole. Okay, I'm actually glad you asked that question because that was kind of the big deal of this week, all these stupid rumors. And we will not be talking about that stuff because all these rumors are coming from some, you know, questionable sources. Let's just say that. So I don't want to get into that bullshit. The whole speculation of like, oh, what PlayStation games or what Xbox games coming to PlayStation next? Who gives a fuck? Who cares? You know? So definitely not getting to that. So I'm glad you asked that question because right up the top, saying it, we're not going to go over that nonsense. It's stupid. You know? What about what Jess Corden said? Don't care. You know? We're talking about the news, the actual news that happened, not bullshit speculation. But I appreciate the question.
What about what Harry and the Henderson said?
Yeah, him, that dude, you know, breaking embargo again, you know. But we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that on the Sunday show where he just said, like, oh, Wukong codes or whatever. It's like, bro. But again, my theory is that he is not the one breaking. He is breaking an embargo, but he's not the one getting the information that breaking embargo. Someone's telling him shit. That's how he could kind of skirt around it, you know, but it's still scummy. There was something that happened. I think it was, it was with The Verge, wasn't it? Like they upset some company. We should talk about that, shouldn't we? I'm going to add that to the, you know, it's gaming news. It is gaming news. They pissed off Valve.
Yes, they did.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, we will talk about that then, you know. Blitz goes, I heard, by the way, shout out to Blitz. You already know.
Blitz.
Yo, yo.
I heard Xbox got no games to show. How can it be bringing games to PS5? They actually do have games coming. So that's going to be our first topic here. Gamescom coming.
Next week.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
So Xbox, you know, we've already heard all these reports about how they're going to have a big showing at Gamescom, and they've just listed all the games they're going to be showing every day. So from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, let's go down the list of games here, people. Especially since it's just the three of us, we got to fill up time. Diablo 4, Vessels of Hatred, and Diablo Immortal. Does anyone even? Well, Diablo 4 is the mobile game, right?
No, Diablo 4 is the main.
Diablo Immortal. Diablo Immortal.
Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
Diablo Immortal, I think that's the mobile game, yep.
Yeah, and Diablo 4 here, that's got to be a DLC. Does anyone care at this point? You know?
Definitely not Brett.
Yeah, not anymore. You know, he was hyping it. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. Atom Fall. Oh, here we go, Carlos. Richard's favorite thing, Starfield Shattered Space DLC. You know?
There you go.
Age of Mythology Retold. So these are the bold games. And then in tiny little font, Overwatch 2. Oh, speak of the devil and he shall arrive. Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Give him a second.
You got to set up his mic.
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Live from a certain state that is not the state that you usually are in. But that's.
Oh no, not yet. I got about 2 more weeks before I'll be there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Mr. Beast Infection for the dollar over on the YouTubes. So, Rich, we're just talking about your favorite game, Starfield. It's getting a DLC.
What?
Oh, it is. Who's playing that?
I don't think anyone. I don't even think the developers are playing it, you know? But yeah, Rich, right, just to catch up, I'm going down the list of all the games that Xbox is going to be showing at Gamescom. Moving on to day two. Star Wars Outlaws. That's on there. World of Warcraft, The War Within. I guess it's another DLC. Fallout 76, Milepost Zero. I'm guessing there's another DLC.
Okay.
Tower Born. Okay, I never heard of that. The Elder Scrolls Online Gold Road. All right. I guess the main one of those would be Star Wars Outlaws. But that game's already kind of gotten so much negative press. Like, I don't even know if it's going to do that well, to be honest.
What does it have to do with Xbox?
They're going to be showing it.
Yeah, they're just going to show it.
Remember, just because it's being shown by Xbox doesn't mean it's an exclusive. You know?
Yeah, I guess for some reason I thought this was just an Xbox developer or first party stream or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, I can see how you could. Well, Age of Mythology, that's not Xbox exclusive. You know, neither is Diablo technically, even though it's, you know what I'm saying, it's like owned by Xbox. It is owned by Xbox, right? Diablo.
Yeah,
it's owned by Microsoft.
But it's still on it's still on PlayStation. You know.
When is Star Wars Outlaws is supposed to come out this year, right? Like there wasn't delayed or anything.
I'm dropping this year,
August 27th. Actually,
August 20th. Oh, it looks like Richard already has his calendar marked.
That's it. He's ready, man.
Oh no! Absolutely not. But no, that's when it's dropping.
Yeah,
that's another game. We're talking about all the games that are coming out in the next couple of weeks. We got Wukong and we got Outlaws, and then we got Warhammer 40K Space Marines 2.
Indiana Jones.
Like, yeah, there's a couple of games that are people that are hyped.
They got games.
They got games. What's going on? What is this?
Oh, these are the console defining games,
though? No, they're not.
Yeah,
no.
But some games.
We'll see what the reviewers say about Wukong when the embargo lifts.
Apparently the IGN review leaked. We don't know if it's real though, and they didn't seem to like it, you know. But IGN. But they've had an agenda against that game, so you know.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, the same reviewer that shitted on the same writer who shitted on Game Science wrote the review and she shitted on the game. So take that how you will. But again, we don't know if that's the actual review. It could have been fucking AI generated or whatever. So we'll see.
GPT maybe.
You know, so we'll see pretty soon because the embargo is going to lift. Thank you, Tom Henderson, for telling us all that, you know.
What up, Handy? Tell us some more things that you shouldn't be telling us.
Actually, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, especially you, Rich, aren't like reviewers allowed to say they at least have the game now? I'm not sure about that.
I think they are allowed to say that, but they can't say anything else outside of that.
So if I were to theoretically say I've been playing the game, would I get in trouble? You know, I don't think so, because I saw some people posting it, you know. But regardless, we'll wait until, you know, Friday. What was I going to say? Okay, so here are the games that are in smaller font. Microsoft Flight Simulator, you know.
Okay. Because people are chopping at the bit to play that.
Those games actually they're do pretty games. Well. Yeah, they're
good. Well done games.
Yeah. Two Point Museum. I don't know what that is. Okay. Project Bird's Eye with a quote. I don't know. Kill Knight, the first Berserker. Wait, no, Kill Knight, that's one game. Kill Knight with a, you know, Knight, you know, like armor dudes. Kill Knight, the first Berserker, Kazan. Okay. Eternal Strands. I think, yo, they're just making up games right now, bro.
Yeah, we're just put a bunch of vernaculars together.
All right, I'm not going to read the rest. They're just making up games right now. I'll read the games I recognize. Life is Strange, Little Nightmares, and yeah.
Anyway, all those are multi-platform games.
Logic Wins. What's going on, brother?
What's up?
Yeah. All right, and the last day, Friday, August 23rd, in big bold here, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, Avowed, and Ara: History Untold. Gary, hold up. Gary in the building?
Excuse me? Who it is?
Gary, we should have had you on Throwdown if you were going to be up this late, bro. My man, you already know Gary gets the utmost respect around here, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, Gary, are you hyped for Overwatch 2 DLC? Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot they're showing off Forza Horizon 5.
Forza. Yep.
Yeah. And the Dragon Ball game's going to be there as well.
Is that Kakarot?
No.
You forgot.
Yo, everybody in the chat right now is going crazy. Like, Gary in the building, you know?
And they put at the end, it's like, and more on each day.
Yeah, so Indiana Jones, that's going to be the big one, obviously. I'll rattle these off. Sea of Thieves, Warhammer, Carlos's favorite game. Metaphor, interested in that. Metaphor, you know. Path of Exile 2, The Revenge, and some other bullshit I never heard of.
Wait a second.
What's up?
I see 33 Immortals.
Yeah, what is that about? Here. Yeah, I see that. What is that game? I don't know what that is.
Is that the game that we saw at the Xbox conference? Everybody's like, oh, what the hell is that? It's like a turn-based, that stylized game?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, I have to look up the name. I could have swore that's the game we were all talking about, 33 Immortals. That looks like a very cool art style. The daughters and the father are fighting these creatures. Yeah, let me double check that.
Yeah, please.
But continue.
It's the co-op game. It's like 33 player co-op or something like that.
Okay, yeah, no. This isn't what I was thinking about. I'm thinking about the other game. Yeah, this isn't it.
Yeah, Rich, were you thinking about the turn-based game, like the Western turn-based game?
That game, yep.
Yeah, that's definitely not it. I don't remember what that one was called, but it was definitely not 33 Immortals.
Yeah.
I noticed they didn't have that game everybody was talking about with the chicken, the bayou. That's not on here.
The Louisiana game?
Yeah, with the bad frame rate.
Oh, yeah, with the bad frame rate, yeah. Sounds of the South? Or
yeah, some shit. I don't really care about that game. As soon as I saw those cinematics with the skippy-ass frame rate, I'm like, I'm good. You know? I like I said, you know how like games used to reward you with cutscenes? The game punishes you with cutscenes, you know? All right, so yeah, there's the Xbox's Gamescom live stream lineup. Not bad. You know, they definitely do got some heavy hitters there, you know? If you're an Xbox person, you're probably going to be very happy with that.
We shall see what all of it is.
Yeah, gotta give them credit because they're apparently the only major ones that have like a decent enough showcase. You know,
Sony's not even there.
Sony's still doing the farewell tour for Jim Ryan or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and you know Nintendo's not there either. You know,
they're busting out the audit for Bungie right now. It's like, where's all the money going?
But yeah, so pretty good showing there. I don't know if you guys have any more thoughts on these games. Rich, what are you most excited about?
Obviously, there's one game on this list that I want to talk about. I cannot talk about that right now. I could talk about it next week. but I will say this. I'm guessing we should make a prediction that when they announce this, when they talk about this Starfield Shattered Space DLC next Wednesday, this is probably the same day where they would say, and Starfield is coming to PlayStation 5. Because we all know it's coming to PlayStation. And I see Forza 5. That was the rumor that was also coming to PlayStation. So very interesting that they both are going to be talking about those games on that same day. So we'll have to see what that means.
Yeah. But Rich, you weren't here for this. Because obviously the main thing that was happening this week, all these rumors circling about all these PlayStation games coming to Xbox. And I, at the top of the show, said we're not going to be getting into that because it's just rumors by unscrupulous characters, you know?
And the thing about those rumors is it's like doing the whole, it's like everyone can tell that Microsoft is going to pour more games out to different platforms. So it's like, so we know this is going to happen. It's like, so they're just throwing out titles to, you know, to make it seem like they knew something, where it's like, we already know that a lot of games are going to get ported over.
Yeah. It's just, although I did hear, Tom Warren say that we are going to get another round, and he's pretty credible. Although we're going to be talking about him because apparently he's and The Verge are in trouble. You know,
no.
Very interesting. Oh, also, I should say I wanted to talk about this, but one of the kind of unsaid rules is that I can't really talk about what I do. I can't talk about topics that I normally would cover for work here. Since I don't really cover a lot of game software, I could talk about it all I want to throw it out. It doesn't fucking matter, right? Game hardware, that's a different story. I got to be careful with that. I wanted to talk about SteamOS coming to the ROG Ally. That's official now, you know? But since that overlaps with my job, I can't speak on that. But if you guys want to talk about it, I'm not going to stop you. You know?
Here's the paradox of the whole thing. If I want to talk about it, I want to ask you questions about it, you know, so it's kind of like it gets into that whole conundrum. So because you're the only one that's actually, unless I don't think Rich has, because I haven't, is, you know, played with an ROG Ally before.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's one of those devices that actually the X is one of those that I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to buy it, but, you know, it kind of tempts me. It's like, don't tempt me, Frodo.
Don't tempt me. because I've said this on Thread many times. My biggest problem with these systems is Windows 11. If you could somehow, with the Ally, just real quick. I've always been like, man, if I could get this hardware with SteamOS, I'll be good to go. So if that's going to happen, but apparently right now you can still do some ill shit. Where like if you put Linux on it, on the ROG Ally, you can get a version of SteamOS on it, you know? And I've heard some interesting things, which I will not talk about, but I will tell you off air, you know? Anyway, so yeah, that's the reason we're not getting into it. I want to talk about it, but it's too closely aligned with my work, so I can't get into it. But I'm very excited about the fucking news, you know?
Yeah.
Because Windows 11, good for desktops and laptops, not so much for handhelds.
Not so much.
Speaking about hardware, though, and I don't mind speaking about this because I don't care about Nintendo. Switch 2. So apparently, what I find interesting about this is that developers have been reportedly told that they not to expect the Switch before April 2025. We already knew that, kind of. Remember, Nintendo said we will talk about or release our new hardware, you know, at the end of the fiscal year. Fiscal year ends, you know, in May. Excuse me, in March.
March, yeah.
So, yeah, no shit. No shit. Yeah,
they told you.
Yeah, they told you already, you know. Go ahead, bro.
And the interesting thing is, it's like, developers have a dev kits, I would assume, before that.
Yeah.
You know, so... It doesn't really seem like that big of a deal for developers to be talking about it, but I guess, you know, gotta cover something. And yeah, like what you said is right. It's like they mentioned this, the biggest unkept secret about, you know, there's a Switch 2 coming around, and they said they literally said don't expect it within the fiscal year.
Yeah, they said it. So I don't understand what's going on here. But I want to read this because this is coming from one of the guys that I believe he works for or is associated with Eurogamer. He goes, no developer I've spoken to expected to be launching this financial year. In fact, they've been told not to expect it in the current financial year. A bunch of people I spoke to hope it's out in April or May time, still early next year, not late. I could see May, you know. I could see that. If
it, it's going to be May.
Or April. Because the last one dropped in March, though. But, you know, I guess they're doing things a little different. I don't think any of us wants a late launch for Switch 2 because we all want a new Nintendo console. Everyone gets excited for it, and we don't want that crunch of GTA 6 and Switch and all that stuff piling up on top of each other. By the way, where's GTA 5 on Switch? You know?
You got to remind them every time.
Every single time. All that shit. You know? But, you know, we're not going to get into that. But Tony was right in the end. But yeah. Okay. I mean, I know it's only four of us, and I already know the answer.
Uh-oh. Yes.
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Why?
It's Nintendo. Yeah, it will. It's not even. I mean, FOMO does in the pie chart of responsibility. FOMO does have a slice of the pie, but not as big. It's more nostalgia, and whenever a new Mario game comes out, I always want to play it. And I'm pretty sure Nintendo's going to do the Nintendo way, and it's like, oh, the new Super Mario Odyssey 2 is only playable on the Switch 2. It's not backwards compatible with the Switch 1. Wouldn't be surprised if they do that.
Yeah, would be smart.
It is smart. That. Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm not getting it because I got the Switch. I didn't enjoy it. It was two reasons.
Yeah.
The hardware, obviously, horrible. Very dated, even when it launched. And the games, I'm just not a Nintendo guy. Those games don't really do it for me. There's exceptions. Metroid, always good stuff. But, like, think about it. And I like Mario Odyssey, to be fair. That was a fun game. But I'm not going to buy a system for, like, one game, you know? I know motherfuckers talk about the Zelda games. I didn't like Breath of the Wild. I still think Breath of the Wild was highly overrated, you know? I didn't enjoy that at all. I'm just not a Nintendo guy, so I'm not going to bother. I gave it the old college try, though. You can't fault me for that. But that's not where I'm at. Like, there's more exciting handhelds coming, you know? Actually, there's more exciting handhelds right now, you know? Fuck coming. Yeah. So, like, again, you don't need a Switch when you got the Steam Deck and possible successor. Well, not possible. It's coming. Valve already said, yo, we it's coming. We just don't know when, you know? I'm guessing it's because they've probably made so much money and the current system keeps selling. And they dropped the OLED. They're good. They're not dropping shit, you know? But yeah, so there you go. Switch 2. Don't expect it before April 25. So no surprise there. All right, moving on here. So this is a follow-up of a previous story. So we talked about how Krafton Games acquired Tango Gameworks. And one of the questions was, did they get all the games or just Hi-Fi Rush? Turns out it's just Hi-Fi Rush. Very interesting. So Manny, what's going on with this?
Oh yeah. So just today there was a little bit more clarity as to what games that they got, how many employees they might've had. So it looks like, at least from the reports, that they managed to put this deal together on August the 1st. So we found out, like, you know, less than 10 days, a little more than 10 days later on the 12th.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was not lock, stock, and barrel. It was literally for most of their, you know, for their employees and for Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah.
And that seems to be it. And at least from what, what's his face from Bloomberg says, he says that there is at least 50 people out of 105 employees they had at the studio.
So, yeah.
I mean, it means that whoever was there probably didn't want to stick it out. You know, they needed money. But I don't know exactly. One thing they don't go into detail as to what did they actually close? You know, what was the close date for them? Was it August 1st or was it some other future date? And whoever was left there was just what left over because of the, you know, because they're just waiting it out until everything's closed up.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is, and to my recollection, the company says, this is the first I've ever seen a Korean studio pick up a Japanese studio. But I feel like in this situation is a fairly unique situation. I don't think under normal circumstances, they would have been able to buy a studio.
Yeah. But you go ahead.
I think it, you know, Bethesda having Tango Gameworks was a
yeah. But now the question comes: what happens to the other franchises?
Oh, I mean, as far as we know, the you know, if they only got them for Evil Within, you know, for Hi-Fi Rush, that means that Microsoft still or Bethesda still owns the Evil Within, and they still own Ghostwire.
So, and then you know, I doubt they're going to make any sequels to those.
I mean, you know, like very, very much like Evil Within had its fan base, but it wasn't gangbusters, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially after, you know, was it Shinji Mikami sort of somewhat stepped away from the series, but people seemed to really like the second one, which was directed by John Johannes, who was the, you know, director of Hi-Fi Rush. And the second game that they did, which was Ghostwire, that didn't do, I mean, I think that was a Shinji Mikami game too.
I believe so, yeah.
So they only really had like two franchises with the exception of Hi-Fi Rush. So I don't know.
Yeah. So Rich, what do you think about this story? And what do you think is going to happen to those other games that they didn't buy?
Well, Evil Within isn't a series that I had a chance to really get into. I started to play the first game, but I forget what happened. There probably was another game that came out that took my attention away from that game, but I did want to give it a try. So I obviously wanted to know if they was going to do Evil Within 3. That could have been kind of interesting. But like I said, I didn't really finish 1. I didn't get into 2. Maybe at some point I will do that. But hey, for people who are fans of Hi-Fi Rush, though, this is rather interesting. And my thought is that obviously, Krafton is trying to build the portfolio of games. They had your favorite game, Tony, the Callisto Protocol, that released, and that was hot garbage. So,
game of the year.
Yes. So, I think what they did is by making this acquisition, they obviously see potential to do more with Hi-Fi Rush. So, I look forward to seeing what they're doing. But I'm very curious to know if they're going to go after other potential studios down the road, because again, if they're trying to build a portfolio of games, I think they're going to have to work on multiple things, but we'll see. And again, they said this team is primarily just working on Hi-Fi Rush. They hired them back to work on their own stuff. I want to see if they stick to that or if that changes over time and they have them helping out on other things they want to do too. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I would hope that they're the reason why what made that so special for them is because they did something different than out of what their studio is. This game sort of redefined the studio a little bit. You know, they're not only just the Evil Within studio now. So let's hope that this studio is also allows them to explore other types of titles, you know, beyond just even sci-fi. Maybe they can't do an Evil Within game, which is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, get some more games out there that are not. And they have that lineage, man. They have, still had a bunch of former Capcom guys on it. That guy, John Johannes was the overseeing director, but the gameplay director was a guy who worked on the Devil May Cry series, who worked on Beautiful Joe. So there's that lineage that still has that Capcom lineage.
Man, I miss Beautiful Joe. Those were fun games.
Yo, man. Well, imagine
Genshin and Goku, baby. You know,
imagine if Tango Gameworks, becomes really successful. It just, you know, I wonder how that'll reflect on Microsoft.
You know,
personally, I want to see them get really, really successful. To say,
I think everyone does. Yeah,
yeah.
Because they doubted them.
Yeah.
You know? And even though they went and did their whole song and dance and sent their people over there and said, "We love what you do" and all that good stuff, they win a bunch of awards, you know, and like that one employee from Tango Gameworks said, he showed a big shot of all the awards that they won for the games for Hi-Fi Rush, and he goes, "This is not enough."
Damn, that's crazy. Apparently not, you know.
Yeah, and just to go off something Manny mentioned, I hope they do Hi-Fi Rush 2 as their next project, because I feel like as they just got acquired, you know, they want to put their best foot forward. To get started and to, you know, this new venture with Krafton. So with Krafton and stuff, so, you know, independent from the Bethesda umbrella and Microsoft umbrella, you know, being able to show, you know, we have a fan base for Hi-Fi Rush. We're going to release Hi-Fi Rush 2 this time. People get to pay for it, to play for it. And you know, there's going to be a good crowd of people that already love Hi-Fi Rush. And there's going to be another group of people that are going to get Hi-Fi because we are, you know, it's a known commodity at this point. And the people who played it really love it. So, you know, and we know they can do a good Hi-Fi Rush game. So hopefully it's 2 just to build up more of the repertoire and, you know, and then they can branch out from there.
Yeah. So we'll see. All right. Okay. I threw the Verge thing in here because I want to talk about this. And yes, I will preface it with this is kind of insider baseball type of stuff, but it's interesting. So we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to read this off of Forbes, just so we get the full picture here. Even though it is by Mr. Paul Tassi, who is very controversial sometimes. But like Jason Schreier, he could be a good reporter too, but he's not an asshole like Jason Schreier. We're going to talk about Jason Schreier in a bit too. An interesting video game reporting situation is unfolding as we speak. One where popular tech site The Verge has published a large amount of information about Valve's secret shooter Deadlock, which is described as Dota 2, Team Fortress 2, and Overwatch all blended together. The problem, many fans are furious that they published this, accusing them of breaking NDA and going against the stated info that says. So this is what was in the Discord for this game. Early development build. Deadlock is still early in development with a lot of temporary art and experimental gameplay. Do not share anything about the game with anyone. But the loophole here is that this is just the honor system. As The Verge editor Tom Warren notes, they did not sign or agree to an NDA, did not make any sort of verbal agreement with Valve about sharing the information. You do not even have to click through the EULA as if you have to back out of it. It just goes away and you can start playing. So The Verge's Sean Hollister got an invite, played the game, and published information about what they played. This has created a firestorm online among Valve defenders and other early testers. Warren's tweet of the story has been community noted and says that The Verge broke an informal NDA asking them to not share information about the game. As an update to the story, The Verge reports that they were, in fact, banned from playtest shortly after the story went up, something players appear to be celebrating. I'm almost done here. These are decisions you make when reporting, and sometimes when something comes down to people may find I'm a jerk for doing this, you're still going to publish information no one is running, particularly when you have not agreed to any sort of legally binding NDA or even an embargo. The end result of this is that this can be the kind of thing that lands you on a blacklist by publisher or developer. We have seen information leaks lead to this sort of thing across a number of gaming websites over the years, and that many now happen here with The Verge. But considering the Valve only released a game once a decade or so, that may not be important to them. I'm not sure what So that's the crust of it. Valve told people don't talk about this game, but it wasn't technically an NDA, and they went ahead and published it. So what do we think here? Rich, I want to start with you first, being a noted video game journalist yourself.
Well, first and foremost, the decision to publish this information about the game, they obviously wanted to be the first to the story, to talk about the game, to generate a lot of traffic on their website. But I will question who, you know, there has to be somebody in charge that is basically when you provide access to another outlet to do this stuff. There are rules that are supposed to be followed. And obviously that note that you read in there where it said, don't say anything about the game, that's pretty clear. If that was in there and they just said we bypass that and just continue to play, cover it, and then release the coverage. So I think everybody should be held to the same standards. If there's certain stuff you can't talk about, you shouldn't talk about it. So I understand why people are angry, but clearly they did that so that they could be the first to talk about it. So while there are people that dislike it, I guess as far as them getting traffic, it was beneficial for them, but I would like to see how Valve treats them moving forward Because, again, we've said this before. A lot of people break in embargoes, and then the companies are still working with them afterwards. So I would like to see if Valve is angry about this, with how they're going to respond by how they work with them, if they work with them in the future.
Yeah. I don't think they'll be getting the Steam Deck 2, you know? Carlos, what's your take on this, man?
Yeah, this is, you know, I'm not a gaming journalist. I'm not a journalist in general. But what I do understand is, When you have a journalist to a company that you converse with and stuff like that's, you know, not made for the public, you know, there's on the record and there's off the record information, and it kind of feels to me that this was more off the record. And it, you know, being a journalist, you know, for the most part, it's mostly about building relationships with different companies, different PR firms, different, you know, publishers and all this stuff. So honestly, to me, this is pretty scummy stuff from The Verge, if you ask me. It kind of goes against the you know, what ethical journalism seems to me, because it, from all indications, it seems like they did not want them to leak any of this, and The Verge knew this. So it's just more, I gotta get my clicks today. So let's leak this out and, you know, put this in the world. So yeah, I'm not a fan of what The Verge did, especially for a Valve game. It's like, this game could, may or may not come out.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Whatever the traffic was for the day, probably.
Yeah.
Manny, what's your take on this as obviously someone who was not only a video game journalist of sorts, but also work in the game industry?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, that's like, you know, there is, you'll find a lot of situations. You won't necessarily get a full thing that says, okay, you know, don't share this, like a full-on contract. But I mean, it's usually understood that once you receive any of this information, you're not supposed to start doing any of it, especially if it's been provided by the studio itself. You know, like if you're just, you know, that's, you know, we talked about Tomboy, right? You know, where he's like, you know, he supposedly got told about this by somebody from somebody else. He theoretically is not, responsible, but even so, you still are responsible, especially if you want to get those exclusives. Not everybody gets those sorts of, especially with, you know, guys like yourself and Rich. It's like, it's hard enough to get those sorts of things. You know, we're all, believe it or not, every single one of the sites and everybody, you know, who's, you know, YouTubers are all in competition for eyes.
Yeah.
And when you're the one person that doesn't have the things that everybody's talking about or your take on it, it seems odd, you know? And I think that, again, like, I think if they really should have, obviously they wanted to get eyes on their site, but now what happens? They won't be getting things from Valve because they put them on a blacklist. And we've known plenty of other sites that have done the same thing. Kotaku, I think, and Polygon have even, you know, dabbled in sharing information that they shouldn't have. And to be honest, they should be punished, you know?
Yeah.
Now they got to do like everybody else does. They got to go to the store and go buy it themselves. And yeah. Sorry, guys. But to be honest, I don't feel sorry when this sort of stuff happens. They decided to do that stuff. And that's the edge. That's the thing that you have to, if you're going to be about that life, if you're going to be about giving exclusives and, getting scoops and trying to get scoops and all that other good that stuff that gets people to come to your site, just know that some people won't want to play with you anymore. And that's just the way it is. And belly aching and writing silly articles about how they're not sending you your shit, cry me a fucking river. Because if you were really thinking about that sort of stuff, maybe you wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Real quick here, Gary, still hanging out. He goes, game journalism integrity is on a decline. I'm glad we still have Tony and Rich out there. Appreciate that, man. He also says the studio clearly had a level of trust for The Verge that was broken. All right, so here's my take on it. While I understand that The Verge technically didn't break an NDA, this was very fucking scummy, man. Because, like, again, you're trying to build relationship with these folks and stuff. But the thing is, okay, again, I understand there was no broken NDA, but it clearly says it right there. Don't share details about the game. Yeah. Again, that wasn't binding. I understand that. I understand. I fully understand, but it says it right there. you know? So yeah, very scummy move to do that, you know, just to get the traffic and all that. And again, if you're going to deal with these people for decades, apparently, or a decade or more or whatever, you can't be biting the hand that feeds you. This is why I'm keeping it real right now. This is why certain people in this industry haven't gotten anywhere, because they're just, you know, trying to look out for themselves. They don't care about, you know, reciprocity and stuff. You know, like, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. They don't care about any of that stuff. They don't get anywhere. You know, but, and again, I got to say it, I'm going to fuck. This is why guys like me and Rich are still around, bro, because we don't do shit like that. You know, perfect example. I remember I didn't get a review code for Metal Gear Solid 5, right? But there was this indie game store that had the shit on sale. Like, they were just selling it like days before the embargo lifted. I easily could have written about the game. I was under any NDA whatsoever. I didn't do it because it's fucked up. It would be fucked up, you know? And mind you, and I'm also, full transparency, this was also during a time when Konami was not very happy with me, and I still honored the shit, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't do stuff like that, man. You don't backstab people like that. It's not going to get you anywhere. Even if you're big, and we've seen a lot of sites get away with this type of stuff because they're big, but that shit doesn't pay off in the end. I'm going to say this right now. Tom Henderson, what he does in the long run is not going to work out for him, you know, because you're not going to be up on that high horse forever. And when you do come down, people are going to remember the shit you did to them. And they're not going to appreciate that, you know. Yeah. So, yeah,
you know,
go ahead.
With the way a lot of these places are closing down video game sites, you know,
yeah.
the margin gets a little bit smaller and smaller. And then you'll have less places to go. And then why would somebody want to take, why would a company, despite how good of a writer, want to take you, if especially if you're totally blacklisted behind the scenes?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't report on anything.
You can't, yeah. And I'm really glad you brought up that point because, yeah, again, don't think that because you're currently at the top of the heap or whatever that you're always going to be there. Think about it like this, right? What happened to Game Informer, right? They were top of the food chain. All those great writers, guys like Brian Shea, we follow each other on Twitter. I know him. Great, spectacular guy. He's looking for a job right now. But when he does land a job, people are going to go, hey, he's a nice guy. Let's hire him. He's going to be able to get us connections real quick. Dudes like Tom Henderson, when they fall down, people are going to be like, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to deal with you, bro, especially if he wants to go independent. If he goes independent, it's going to be real rough, you know? Yeah. People remember this. Here's the thing. The video game industry is, yes, it is huge, but it's also very small. People know stories get around, you know,
yep. Stories get around. Yeah. People talk and all that sort of stuff. You see, you know, all those press people, you know, they tend to move around a lot too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you may, you know, meet somebody
mm-hmm.
who may have worked at PlayStation one time and then works at Konami another. You know,
yeah,
that's just the way the industry works, and those people remember you. So
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I got because that's literally what happened to me. Again, remember, I'm not going to go into details, but Konami was not happy with something that my site that I was writing for did. But a press person that I was very friendly with at another PR company went to Konami. Now I'm cool with Konami again, right? Because she remembered, you know, me being a good guy, you know. And I can tell you stories, man. There's dudes I know that have been around way longer than me who aren't employed anymore and is still struggling looking for a job because people remember the bullshit, you know. Mm-hmm. People remember, bro. So yeah, this story upset me, man. Again, yes, they didn't technically do anything wrong, but morally they did something very fucking wrong. You know,
to be honest, I feel like in general.
And when I bring up morality, you know shit is rude because I don't even talk about that very often. They fucked up. You know, it's very, very scumbag move. You know,
I mean, they do we need to get like obviously yes to cover their backs? Do you know it's the proper thing to have people sign non-disclosure agreements? But yeah. Do we need to do that? Do we need to sit there and say every second have some sort of law? You know, a binding contract to sit there, especially if you're working behind the scenes. No,
yeah.
don't fucking piss on the food. You know, piss on the food they're giving.
Yeah,
you know.
That's it, man. All right, moving on here. So this is interesting. Jason Schreier, who, you know, prickly guy, to say the least. I actually plain just don't like the guy, being honest. I do remember calling him a scumbag at one point. I don't care. He blocked me. I don't give a fuck. But he's a good reporter. I give him that. Very good reporter. And he reported something very interesting. Apparently, remember how The Last of Us 2 was supposed to have the online mode, and it got canceled? Apparently that didn't go over very well with Sony. So this is what he said. The Last of Us 2 factions 2, it was in development for 4 years with a team in the hundreds. It was an expensive project, and the cancellation, here's a quote, made some heads roll at Sony as a result. Some people got fired over this shit, apparently. I'm taking heads roll as somebody got fired or somebody's got fired. That to me, that just sounds like you didn't plan this shit right. You have a team of hundreds of people working on a multiplayer game for 4 years, and the shit just doesn't come out, you know?
I mean, you know the elephant in the room situation, man. Like, we know what it was. Everybody knows. Like,
nobody cares.
Nobody gives a shit. And number two, it's like, why are we going down on this mediocre online mode?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know there's people that liked it, but it wasn't enough to spend all that time. That's time they could have been spending to develop some new title instead of this situation, or even another Last of Us game.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I know you're right about that. So all that money down the drain, and apparently some people were fired.
Like, would it be like people at like a
Naughty Dog? Yeah, Naughty Dog. Yeah,
or like somebody at like, you know. But it's like, okay, so was somebody at Naughty Dog that canceled? I thought it would have been somebody at Sony that would have
canceled. No, somebody at Sony, not Naughty Dog, but somebody got, you know, somebody paid the price. Some heads rolled at Sony. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say this, like, elephant in the room. Whoever was there. Whoever was making, they should have known better. Naughty Dog is not a multiplayer development studio.
Yeah,
they never have, never will be.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You know, again, I understand that those games have their dedicated players, but it's not a lot of them.
But that's not like, you know, like, again, like hundreds of people spending all this money on, you know, on decision. You know what those multiplayer games are like. Granted, some of them are expensive, but they're really supposed to be out quick. They're supposed to be, get everything as good as possible, and then the whole key of it is to essentially release incremental upgrades, skins, environments, that stuff.
Yeah,
that's why you develop it, because you're not making a huge investment to develop it initially. You know, you're essentially thinking about gameplay, thinking about the initial gameplay loop. That's what you have to get started with. And then after that, all that other stuff is like, you know, to keep people coming back in and paying.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you build the core game and then you build on top of it.
And you build on top of it. But it's obvious that Naughty Dog doesn't have that ability.
Because they're not a multiplayer studio.
They're not a multiplayer studio. To be honest, the best decision would have been to hand this over to somebody else who's better suited to doing these types of titles.
Yeah.
Which is
not Bungie.
Which is like what a company like Activision does, right?
Yeah.
They have the guys that develop their main game, right? And then they have another studio which specializes in the multiplayer stuff, develop those things.
Yep.
You essentially have two games based on the same thing being developed at the same time.
Yeah. No, you're right. Crazy stuff. All right. And the last story here. This one, it's not official yet, but I want to talk about it regardless, because this was the thing that got me the most excited out of anything in the entire year. Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection, people. If this is correct, seems that we are going to be getting this game on November 22nd of this year. Basically, this online retailer from the UK called Shop2 listed the game with that release date. And sometimes these things are pretty accurate. That's why I was like, you know, I feel safe enough to talk about this. And that sounds about right, you know, for that game to drop. in November, right as Black Friday is about to hit and people are buying new consoles, you know, and peripherals and all this other stuff, you know. Let me see. I don't know if they listed the price of the game. I imagine it's going to be like $40, $50. But this, okay, so right here it's listed as you could pre-order it for $59. Oh, thank you. They actually have it in dollars here. So $59, so $60 game. Interesting. But if you pre-order it, you get $10, you save 22%. Pretty cool. PEGI 16. And it looks, yeah. PS4 game, though, which is true. Yeah, I'm ready. Give me this fucking game. I'm so happy about this shit. Like you guys already know, man. I already told the story. We did like half an episode on this shit, you know? Okay, so it seems that if you are a member of this website, Shop2, that's when you get the discount. And I kind of expect other sites may do something similar with just everything. Because, again, Black Friday is like right there, you know? And again, if you guys don't know, 7 games in one. So I would say, listen, these games haven't been released in that long. I the $60 price is justified, in my opinion, you know? Even though they are old games, but it's like, you can't get them, you know? And like I told people before, buy this shit physical because they're probably going to get delisted again at some point. You know, that always seems to happen. That's why you can't get that Deadpool game. That's why you can't get that Wolverine game. You know, these licenses don't last forever. Get the game physical. Get the game physical. Buy a bunch of copies, man. You know, so let Capcom know. But yeah, Manny, I know you're getting it.
Yeah, it's already been pre-ordered. It's
nice.
Already there.
Yeah, where you pre-order from?
Oh, I got it from Amazon.
Well, do they have the placeholder date of December 31st, 2024?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I didn't check.
I'll check right now. Yeah, because you know how they always do that shit, like the placeholder date, you know? And it's always December 31st. Real quick. Marvel. What the fuck? Ooh, all right. Capcom Fighting Collection. Let's go. It's $49. Here. Okay, so there you go. Remember, I was reading off a UK site. So, there it is, Manny. The placeholder date, December 31st, 2024. It's always that, you know? I should pre-order that shit, too, you know? Does Amazon, they don't charge you until, like, they ship, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they only charge you until they ship it. So, you should be good.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. All right, that's going to do it for us. I can't talk about what I've been playing, unfortunately, and I don't know if Rich can either. Rich, are you playing anything that you of can talk about?
Absolutely not.
We're in the same boat.
There are multiple things I can't talk about, but I'll just say it's a pretty good time to be playing some games.
There you go, Manny. You still playing Hi-Fi Rush?
I'm at the like I said, I'm like in. I'm going through Rhythm Master mode. Rhythm Master mode is the final thing I need to do before getting the platinum. There is another trophy that, like, you know, like for the DLC arcade mode that they put into it. That one, like, it's as hard as Rhythm Master is, getting all of those things for that mode is even harder. Like, they definitely up the challenge for those, you know, people. Like, it's, they have, like, what is it, Rhythm Tower mode? Like, you know, like, the was it the Tower of Doom or whatever from Devil May Cry? So, okay. Yeah, it's the... But I already did all that stuff. Just one last trophy in that game, and then I'm done for now on it. And then my plan is, you know, since Wukong's coming, that's going to be my next game to play after, and then I'm going to go back to Stellar Blade. And by the time Stellar Blade comes back, we'll probably have the photo mode and all that other good stuff.
Yeah. Good. And again, we got the Sunday show, the question show. And if Mr. Tom Henderson is true about the embargo, ask us some questions about Wukong, you know? I'll leave it at that.
Andy?
Carlos, are you still playing Elden Ring?
Yeah, still playing Elden Ring. It's dying down because I'm getting ready for Wukong and Warhammer. So, yeah, I mean, still playing it, you know. I like helping people out, you know, be bosses and stuff. So that's always fun. And, you know, trying out a new build as well. So, yeah, still playing a little bit, but not as much as I was, you know, the previous weeks.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man. All right, it's going to do it for us. Oh, Rich, what else is going on with the coalition, man?
The coalition.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Obviously, we're heading into the fall. So it's a very busy time for video games and TV shows. As I mentioned before, you know, shout out to my very good friend, Mr. Gary Swaby. We will be bringing back the PowerCast show with Dana Abercrombie in September, actually in about 2 weeks. The same week, well, no, the week after PAX, let's say 3 weeks, the week after PAX West. So if you are a Power fan, I'm not talking about the Power show, the PlayStation. I have to always purposely say that, okay? If you are a fan of Power on Stars, you definitely want to check that out. Also, I Am Negan will be returning in September, I believe, for the Daryl Dixon show.
Daryl Dixon.
Myself, Carlos, and Adam, we looking forward to the return of that. So stay tuned. But outside of that, there's a lot of things dropping in August, towards the end of this month and next month. There's a lot that I wish I could talk about. I cannot say anything. I'll just say stay tuned. You're going to see stuff posted on the website. You're going to see a lot of content coming very soon. So, yeah, just stay tuned.
There you go, man. Yeah, Gamescom, people. You already know the coalition is going to be all over that. So, good stuff. Shout out to Gary, who still hung out with us the whole show. We should have had you on the show, man. It's been too long since we've done a podcast together. You know.
Now, remember Tuesday. That needs to change. Tuesday is the Keighley show.
Wait, what's happening on Tuesday now?
Tuesday is the Keighley show at Gamescom.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Keighley.
Yeah. The day before Xbox then. Okay, so next week's going to be, we're going to have some stuff to talk about on Throwdown, you know?
Hell yeah.
Some games. Yeah, some games. And we will also talk about some other games, you know?
Oh, excuse
me. Yeah. Again, Sunday, man. Ask us some questions. All right, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app. Throwdown Show, that's towards Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube like Gary has, and you like the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight we're joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out. Hey, take care, everyone. Deuces. Little people.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys. Get ready, man. Games are coming. Later.